Blog Talk Radio.
I and I will stand up and fight for all rights. I and I will find a way to survive. Not an easy way out, easy way out. Fighting to be free. It's not an easy way out, easy way out. Trapped in society.
Back to Africa. And then there are some others who sell Negroes in the sun.
Constitution of this United States and the authority of God. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up. Our only answer in confrontation turn must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze.
Once again, it's Sunday night, and it's the Ethiopian World Federation, Comer Incorporated, the Local 26, the Women's Auxiliary of the Local 26 as well, with a lovely host, the host with the most, the information that you can't reject, Mrs. Sadie Gomez. Let's give a nice hand and welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you so very much to my wonderful co-host, Dr. Ron Robinson. I thank you so very much. Again, this is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation Incorporated, Local 26, for the Woman Auxiliary, coming to you live and alive on this wonderful Sunday evening. You know how we do it on this side of town. It's Sunday. It's where we tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but. It's where we examine the things that are normally hidden under the rug. We gently pull it out. We examine it. And sometimes we pull it back. But most times, we got to take it apart. We dishevel things in the side of town. But we examine all things, especially the things that no one wants to talk about. That's exactly what we will be talking about tonight on this show. Tonight, however, I have two special guests that is coming on to talk about the various topics that are here. So, Dr. Robinson, you'll give me a hint as to when these studio guests are filling in, because tonight we want to discuss. Yeah, how are you looking so far?
No, I say I will let you know when they're there.
Okay, definitely. Thank you so much. So tonight what we want to discuss, we've been seeing some things happening since the Africans are standing up and they have asked the French to please get out of our country. We are seeing some retaliation. So we saw a video whereby a French native was seen urinating on a young African child. And this brought an outrage since nobody else seemed to be paying attention. It just seemed that, look what is going on. If such is the case, and this is real and true, we are seeing, I guess, how civilized the French really are in terms of their behavior. This is not a behavior we could condone, however, because first of all, children are in danger. We are the adults. We are the ones who are supposed to be looking out for these children and being the protectors rather than the predators of these children. However, we see last Sunday we discussed another painful event for a child whereby she was blatantly refused to be given an award that she deserved while standing there. So we see an attack on children, and especially our children that we are watching at. Also in the news, we are seeing what's happening down in commercial Israel. We see the prime minister down there has declared yesterday that his country is at war. Bombs are dropping. The Palestinians, they only have slingshots and stones, so I think they kill 90 people while the Israelites kill about 900. That's also happening. And tonight for our main topic, we would like to discuss the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes of Israel are still here with us. It's a real situation, and they're chosen people of the Almighty. Now, guarantee, all black people did not come from the 12 tribes because there are other black people upon the earth, so that's something that we know. But I do have two special guests that love loves to weigh in on this very topic. They tell me they would love to speak on this. They are really, what should I say, advanced on this sort of information, and they enjoy this sort of information. But what I'm saying, I will probably have to repeat it as our studio audience continue to fill up. Also, we know there are the 12 tribes, which comes from the Rastafarian community, and they call themselves the 12 tribes of Israel as well. I know a few members or people who belong to such an organization. So here we are seeing the 12 tribes determined by, let's say, by the Hebrew Israelites, which are here in the USA, their standards by which they determine who the 12 tribes are. And we are seeing the Rastafarian community as well having the 12 tribes, and we are trying to figure out how do they determine. But my African counterparts, however, asking, how do you determine the 12 tribes of Israel and not include an African nation of any sort when the majority of the tribes are still in Africa? They came from there. A few were taken and scattered through slavery, and we understand that slavery story. We know very well where they came from. But we do not want to have a fight on tonight. We just really want, as we organize and centralize, we want to bring wisdom to our people, a sense of awareness, a sense of togetherness. For many reasons, we have been taught to not come together, to pull apart, for simple words and for a whole lot of folly. We were told, or we came to understand, let's stay away from each other. But for what? At this time, our very survival depends on the fact that we should get together. So we want to clear up some of these messes only because we want to understand clearly. When our children ask us, we will know what to tell them. Because children have a way of asking adults and to elders. And every day we grow closer to having that status of either being an adult or an elder. Every day we grow closer because we are no longer children, as we are here holding government, holding radio, holding different things. We have people coming to us to ask us various questions. So this is a very platform on which we invite the knowledgeable to come and share with us, what do you think of the 12 tribes of Israel, seeing that they are here with us, they have grown, they have made, multiplied, and the generation has continued. Yes, it is Jacob's trouble. All right, we are doing that right now. This is where we are. Forget the age of Aquarius. We are in the age of Jacob's trouble because we are rising. We all know we were kings and queens, and we know that long fancy story, but we have to understand the genealogy because most people did not read from whence they came from. It is difficult to even start to even ask them to. But in Africa, and orally, stories were passed on, and this was a good thing. There was a time where they held story time, and this was something wonderful that should be a practice that we should develop as well for our children, our community. And when we find our home once more, I would make sure that Local 26 of the Ethiopian World Federation would institute something called story time or story evening. I know we have some wonderful storytellers, some wonderful orators, and we are not just making up story. We are telling our story, which will be the history that was left out of the history books and has been distorted on February, the month has only 28 days. Lord knows we are trying to cram 100 things into 28 days and nobody learns anything. So we are going to have story time once more to learn our history. So, Dr. Robinson, can you let me know what the studio is looking like? I don't want to miss these two important guests.
Yes, who's the numbers for your guests? You know the telephone numbers?
Oh God, you're looking as fuck. But who do we have in at this time?
We have your general listeners on.
Okay, so this time, if anyone wants to weigh in on this subject concerning the 12 tribes of Israel, because we are talking about what is happening here, what I want to share with you is my African counterparts, they want to know how come we determine this information without having mentioned any part of the continent. So I want to leave the mic open, and I will continue.
Okay, we open the mic to somebody who has a very good understanding of that. Mr. Terrence Ruffin, 205-742. Your mic is open.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Doing this evening?
Good. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Oh, fine.
Yes, and the 12 tribes of Israel in 70 A.D., 31 years after Jesus Christ, the black Messiah, was crucified on the cross. That was the time when Rome was never believed in one God, the one true God. They had a pagan religion. They never believed in Most High God. They had several gods that they believed in. And in 70 A.D., they came back in to Israel, the promised land, the land that's on fire with bullets and bombs going off in right now as we speak. That was the last time the Hebrew Israelites dwelled in that land as the leaders. And we took the route. If anybody familiar with the route that Mary and Joseph took when King Herod sent out the decree to kill the firstborn male child to get rid of Jesus at birth. And King Herod is a Edomite. If anybody's familiar with Esau and Jacob, Esau became Edom. Edom became Edomites. Edomites in the Bible is Esau. Esau in the Bible is the progenitor of all white people who exist today on the planet, which conveniently got left out of history. Romans are Edomites. Romans is Idumeans and Idumea. Look these words up in the Bible. God mentioned every one of them. Esau, if y'all go to Hebrews chapter 12, start with verse 16. There's no repentance for Esau after he sorted dismally with tears, and he found no repentance. So there's no repentance. The only race of people on the planet that has no chance of repentance is Esau. And so Esau is Rome. And Rome came in 70 A.D. and ran the last black Hebrew Israelites, Jews, out of the land of the promised land, back down into Africa, the same route that Mary and Joseph took to save Jesus. And we migrated. We are not Africans. We are not. The Negroes that got put on the ship to sent to the Americas are not Africans. We are Hebrew Israelites. And we came down back into Africa as refugees from running away from war. Now, we got to go back and remember, too, Judah was divided into two kingdoms, and the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom, the first 10 tribes, had already was in slavery, had already went into what we call the Gentiles. And we got to understand in the Bible, Gentiles is anyone that do not practice God's laws, statutes, and commandments. That makes you a Gentile. Now, you may be by blood a Hebrew Israelite, but when we go into captivity and slavery and go into colonialism and all that, we take on a whole nother religion. That makes us get in the Gentile category. So, therefore, get to the point. We migrated down in 70 A.D. back down in that land of Africa. And we were not native to the land. The African native people knew that we was different. We always heard in the white man history book that black folks sold black folks into slavery, sold their own family back into slavery. No, they ain't. Every black man ain't your kinfolks. We are the son out there. Was three people. Noah had three sons, Japheth, Shem, and Ham. We come from Shem. We Shemitic. We can't be anti-Shemitic because we be against ourselves. Japheth, the son of Noah, that who produced the white race. That's the white race that came down through the lineage. Ham is the father of the dark races. See, all Hebrew Israelites wasn't dark-skinned people. We thinking that mixing with the slave master and white folk gave us our light skin tone. But no, we were born with a lighter skin. We wasn't a dark, dark race. And although there were dark race, you know, dark-skinned people in the Hebrew race, but overall we was a mixture. And so therefore, when we came back down into Africa, God told the den, that gave them a route out. Do not mingle and match and give your daughters into marriage, nor give your sons into marriage to these Canaanites and all these other race of people, the native Africans. But guess what we did? We went down and started taking on their religion and marrying our daughters into marriage. And then when the white man came looking and started discovering the gold and all, how rich Africa was, and then guess what? When war broke out among the tribes down there, the native Africans sold the Hebrew Israelites into slavery and put us on ships. And I go to Deuteronomy 28 and 68 in the Bible. Y'all write these scriptures down. Deuteronomy 28 and 68 says that we were going to be going back into bondage again. Bondage means Egypt. We're going back into Egypt again. America is a spiritual Egypt and Sodom and Gomorrah. And Babylon. This is Mystery Babylon, United States. And so now to fulfill what we're saying, now the Hebrew Israelites got in Africa, start building the kingdom, and start taking the knowledge of God, what God gave them, and start building Africa up. We believed it in God. We believe came from God. We Christianity is not a white man religion because they believed in Jesus. They knew about Jesus. And Christian means the following of Christ, not white Christ, white Jesus, the junk that the Roman Empire influenced the whole world. But we following Christ, the black Messiah. See, that got hijacked. The 12 disciples, Jesus, all that got crucified on the cross. Rome came back and killed Paul, the 12 disciples. All the 12 disciples died a horrible death, except John of Patmos. John of Patmos was the one who wrote Revelation. He was the only out of the 12 disciples laid down and died. The rest of them was martyred, killed. Peter was put on a cross, hung upside down. Paul was killed by the guillotine. His head hit the ground three times, one for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and wretched his day, springs of water over in that Vatican. They done covered it all up. Rome killed Paul. Rome killed Peter. And all the other disciples died a horrible death, stoning, killing, hangings. All that religion that Jesus came and established when he was on the earth for 33 years got wiped out and hijacked. And the Roman Empire Church came in 70 A.D., got the books, enslaved and killed the Hebrew Israelites, and then a million and some Israelites fled back down into Africa. And then when Rome and time went on, Romeum got the books to start reading. How cataclysm. That means they painted out all the black disciples, Jesus and all, and turned all up white. Whitewashed it. And when they whitewashed everything, the Pope got in charge of the world. God gave the world over to the wicked. Go to Job 9:24. That the world was gave over to the wicked. And who and hid the faces of the judges. Who were the judges? All those judges was the prophets that came through the Bible. They hid their faces. Man, the Renaissance age, when the white man came into his power, And God gave the world over to them. Let's go and give what God did. By us not keeping the law, statutes, and commandments, and God gave the world over to the wicked. And when he gave the world over to the wicked. Hold on,
Sandra. Yes, Cora.
Okay.
I just want to interrupt you for one moment as we continue for the evening. There's something that we are trying to determine here since my African counterparts are asking. You see, within the 12 tribes, where we see them, they have a poster stating, if you're from different parts of the Caribbean, this is you're from certain tribe. Like if you're from Trinidad, you're from Dan, if you're from St. Vincent, you're from God, if you're from, and they have this chart. But what my African counterparts are asking, how do they determine this chart without including any African countries when most of the tribes, like for instance, the tribe of God is still originated in Benin, and majority of them are there and know of the oral stories that were passed down. So we are here in America, and you're seeing, you know, very excited, you know, young men with these posters telling you of various Caribbean country islands that you may come from, and what, and this is the tribe you belong to. So the question is here, and for the callers who are coming in to answer, and especially directly this special question, how is this determined by our brothers, the Hebrew Israelites? We don't want to have a fight with them, but we want to know, how do they determine this without including the African countries of which the tribes originated from? So how are we going to meet our brothers and sisters once more? We are trying to get together. We are trying to organize. We are trying to centralize. So we want to know and have one concept and determination concerning our brothers and sisters. So the mics are open here for this very special question.
Okay. Well, you have to go back to the Bible. You're going to have to go back to the history books that were never taught. And it's a group of people, you know, one of the things that the white man did to us is to stop us from reading, that we get our head cut off and we get killed and all that. So they wrote a lot of things in the books. There are plenty of books. I have to do my research and get some of the name of the books that you have to go back and read and determine where you come from, because they got it mapped out. The white man wrote down everything. He wrote down everything. But they take the books and hide them and don't put them in the public. And they're definitely not going to teach this in the public school. The only thing they're going to teach in the public school is black folks started from slavery. Black folks started from a bone and an old buck naked running around in the jungle and worshiping the moon, the stars, the alligator. That's the lie they tell. But we came from the Garden of Eden. The 12 tribes came from the, there's no Neanderthal DNA found in black people. Neanderthal DNA came from the white folks mating around with monkeys and different things. I can't even explain all that right now. But
she wanted to know the 12 tribes came from the Caribbean or the 12 tribes came from Africa.
Now here's what happens. Here's the slickness of the white man. They want to disorientate us and got Hebrew Israelites and brought them to the Caribbean and South America and Central America and America. And the indigenous people to the land that was already there, the black folk was already in, the indigenous folk, they put them on ships and sent them back to Europe. It was a triangle to disorientate us. And it was black people was already here in America, and they call us Indians, but we wasn't Indian. We was black folk. We were the Hebrew Israelites that already was here, and they hauled us, who was here and born and native to the land, and sent us to Europe. Took the Africans brought us to disorientate us.
You're saying that back in the beginning. In the Bible, it says Abyssinia, and then that was, according to certain historians, that was Africa, that was the region Africa. Then they said in other history books that the first name of Africa was Algaban, A-L-K-E-B-A-N. That was the original name of Africa. So you're
right.
saying that the 12 tribes started off in Alcoban and ended up in the Caribbean and America and Central America and South America. Is that what you're saying?
They trans to disorientate the gate. In order to make a good slave, they got to pull you out of your native land and put you somewhere else where you didn't know. The Bible said that
You're saying the 12 tribes started off in what we know now as Africa.
Everything started. Africa is the cradle of civilization. The white man is nothing but a faded out black man with leprosy. All the leprosy in the Bible, you see, a lot of folks, Noah and his three sons, everybody was black. It was no other color. There wasn't no such thing as black and white and all this kind of stuff came into play in the last 600 years. Wasn't no such thing as a white man. God named us by our tribe. So go back and read the Bible and see the tribes, and then you got to find out what tribe you come from. Most of the folks that were put on the boat and brought to America was the Druda tribe. I think Jamaica is the tribe of Benjamin. Haitians is the tribe of the Levites. Y'all know all the voodoo and all the spiritual things and stuff. The Levites handled the spiritual things of the Bible.
Trinidad,
they're going to be Haitian. The Haitians going to be the Levi tribe. I got a chart, but I'm not looking at it. But I got a chart to tell you what the location of all the tribes, where they at right now.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to open up another mic as well. I'm going to open up 618-960.
Hello, hi.
Your mic is open.
Hi. I did have a question in regards to the different tribes, and my thing is, so I've heard that it was only about 10% of slaves who came to the U.S., went to the Caribbean. So I'm trying to figure out, what about the tribes that were already here? Were they considered Israelites, or what were they considered?
That's a very good question, caller. Welcome to the show. It's a wonderful question.
They were Israelites.
Yeah, so what were those tribes that were here already in the so-called USA?
Those who was already here was the northern tribe. There was 10 tribes that was already in slavery when Jesus was born. When Jesus came upon the earth, there were only two free tribes still. That was the southern tribe. That was the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin were still free with Jesus. Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. Benjamin was free and Judah was free, but still holding on to the law, statutes, commandments of God and the Levites. The Levites was just the spiritual part of the 12 tribes. The first 10 that went into slavery with the Persians, first slavery, seven slavers in the history of the United States, the world, that the Hebrew Israelites went through with. The first was Egypt, and the second was Babylon, and the third was the Persians, and then you got the Greeks, and then the Romans, and then the United States. And that's seven of them. Seven in the Bible mean completion. We'll never go back in slavery no more. That's why the white man cannot get away with what he used to get away with no more. That's why they will never be able to put us in slavery. Now, Jesus coming now. It ain't far from Jesus. We're in the last days now. We truly, truly in the last days. I know we've been hearing that forever. Our grandparents before that, even back in the disciples' time was saying the end is at hand, but that's God's way of making us keep us on ready. But there were 10 tribes that came back down through Persia and got into sea of Ethiopia. You see, the Atlantic Ocean was named the Ethiopian Sea. See, they done changed everything, so disorientated you. So the Atlantic Ocean wasn't the Atlantic Ocean back then. Africa wasn't the name of the place. It's the land beyond the Ethiopian Sea. And when they came back and got on the current, will float you to the Americas and South America and Central America without a sail. There's some streams in the ocean that'll flow. If we ever see how the hurricanes come off of Africa and come straight over to the Caribbean, that same wind flow, that same flow that the God put the Hebrew Israelites here. At one time, we ruled the whole world. Black people ruled the whole world. We the original man. All other races were birthed out of black woman and a black man. And then when you get into the different environments and different things, that start taking on different features and stuff. But everything come from Adam and Eve, one seed. The first 10 went into slavery way before Jesus came on the earth. And all this is about 3,000 years. When you hear all the historians tell you the earth is 10 billion years, they found a skeleton 10 billion years, all that kind of stuff may well be true. But the cycle we in ain't but 6,000. We're about 6,000 years, and 7 again going to be the completion. I don't know where we at. We in the 6,000 something year, and when we get to 7,000 year, it's gonna be a major change in the world. Jesus coming back somewhere where than there. So the first 10 went out and scattered and populated the whole world. We black people in Australia, you find black people, the indigenous people. Anywhere you find indigenous people, that is the 12 tribe or the 10 tribe. And then when the white man came into his power and started selling the world and coming to his conquer and colonization, they came up on the miracle. Israelites was already here. Mexicans, the Mexicans, the Israelites, original now. These people, all this intermixing you see now, the race you see, there's a whole lot of colonization and slavery and brutality and rape and all this to change the complexion of the people. And that's the whole purpose of slavery. Y'all ever heard who win the wars get the spoils? They didn't kill women. They didn't kill the women's children. They killed the men. They raped the women and changed the whole race. That's how war went. And when we hear about God love everybody in the Bible, love, ain't nothing in the world went with no love. Everything went with the sword. Who can come up and whoop and kill the next race of people? Whoever had the biggest stick, who got the gold, made the rules. Y'all heard the golden rules? Whoever got the gold make the rules. So the white man got the power, the gun and gunpowder. What made the white man get in charge of things, which God ordained it now, because we didn't keep the law, statute, and commandment. Let me keep reminding you that. So when the white man came into the sword, go back and read Esau. Esau was blessed with the sword. He was a cunning hunter, and he was a warrior. Jacob was a soft man, a house man, who cooked and hang around with his mama. Esau was a warrior. He was blessed with the stick. He can go around the world. What race of people on the planet run around conquering the whole world? And if you think about it, the white man is a virus. When he come in to Africa, America, Australia, wherever he pulled his ship up on, he came in with the stick. He came in friendly, being our friends and lacking. And like he was coming that, you know, want to join in, let's love each other and work together. But he wasn't coming with that spirit. He came with the spirit of conquest. He came in, and the number two reason that white man won the race, he was nasty. He an animal-like. His house kick up fleas and lice. They love dogs and stuff more than they love a human being. And when they come in, they didn't bathe. Measles, mumps. And when they found out that when they come in, all the diseases they were carrying, that killed off a lot of the indigenous folk without even shooting a shot. They didn't have to go to war.
I do have a question. What do you think the state of the white men versus the indigenous people, where do you think that's heading today, nowadays? I personally feel like, yeah,
the
I feel
Bible
like right
says
now
the day of Armageddon. We're going into war. The Esau is not going to give up anything. It ain't going to be no peace and love and all this coming. It's coming down to chaos, war, and killing. And if Jesus don't come back and save us, there won't be no flesh saved. Esau got the power to kill everybody on the planet. Esau is the one who got the nuclear bomb, the bullet, the bomb he was blessed with, the sword. He's not going to give up anything. Anybody know in Revelation about the day of Armageddon? It's going to come down to a war. And when y'all heard about the rapture, ain't no such thing as a rapture to wait. Everything going to take place on earth. Jesus is coming back again. And if Jesus don't come back, Esau gonna dominate. The white man will always dominate everything until God come back and set it in order again. That's what Jesus coming back for. We ain't saved from anything. Brutality, hatred, murder, taxes, high prices, capitalism. What is capitalism to a poor man? If the rich man got owned everything, he got all the gold, all the money, all the economy, he owned all that. How you ever going to win? He already starting out with $10 million, and you ain't got two pennies. And you ain't got no bombs, no bullets, nothing to defend yourself to ever take Esau, the white man, down. Go to Obadiah. Read Obadiah from the verse book, from the first verse all the way through. Esau ruled the world. He is the devil in the flesh. You can't beat the devil. If Jesus don't come back and put Esau in his place, no flesh will be saved. Esau got the power of the nuclear button.
Let me just interrupt you for a minute. Truly what you're saying, but maybe we should look forward to the second Exodus, where we need to get out before the rapture, because the rapture is going to come, but we have to understand there's something going to happen way before that. So at this time, we have to be real about what we are doing as a people, because a lot may seem not to be organized, but somewhere in the continent, a lot of young people right now are not their ancestors. They are telling you we are not our grandparents. What we have to get in contact with these people, within many organizations, of the young people who are letting you know we are taking back Africa. It is our continent. It is our country. And you see they are removing the white man one block at a time. It's happening in Niger. It's happening in Mali. It's not being told on the 6 o'clock news, but you know it's Saturday, Sunday. So this is where you get the news. We get an understanding of how the world is changing. It's not how it used to be in the 60s or even the 90s. It's a brand new day. Let us open our eyes to understand and see what is really happening. We are seeing what has happened in Israel. The Israel that has been around from the 1960 Israel, which has nothing to do with God's people, but we know that is the commercial Israel. They have declared war on the Palestinians, which, of course, you know, it's a fight for the land down there. And we know very well that North Africa is none of their land anyway, so there'll always be a fight because it's thief from thief, you know. Whose land is it anyway? They met the Palestinians there, however, but today they are fighting, there's bombings taking place. But what we have to look at, what is this distraction for? Normally, all of these things, there is a distraction. But I can really understand what's happening with the Palestinian people, because I understand that Israel rewrote the map of the region, taking a bigger chunk of the Gaza, I suppose. Take this map to the United Nations, who passed this lawless bit of map and area and land stealing, and here goes the fight and the rise of emotions with the Palestinian people. But of course, you know, Israel is supported by this here government, and they can do no wrong because they are supposedly God's people. But you know, we read in the book of Revelation who they are. They said they are synagogue of Satan. So we know they say they are Jews, one of the Jews. This is written within the books, and we do understand as we see it coming, and at the end of the day, there will be that holy war. But we know that modern day Israel is not anywhere the holy land. It cannot be because there's too much fighting going on there. So that land itself is probably cursed. But for commercial purposes, they make a lot of money. They make all the statues of the Christ and the baby Jesus. While I'm telling you, people take this to be so sacred, and these things came from Israel. And the very men who make it are drinking and smoking and spitting right on the very statues and laughing at Christians, because this is what really goes on. So for those who go to that Babylon, Israel down there, and the Holy Land, and they collect ornaments and books and everything, I want my black people to just get real what's really going on, please. So it's Saturday, Sunday, as I said to you all, for the wonderful to have my studio guests, knowing and understanding what's all truth. Dr. Robinson, let me know if
I want to also remind us geographically, a young African American young man studied geography, and he told people that from the Grand Canyon and Mount Everest, you can walk to North Africa. They said, "You're crazy. You're out your damn mind. You foolish boy. Shut up." When the geologist studied it again and went geographically and studied it and went to Mount Everest and went to the Grand Canyon, they said, "We were sorry. He's right. You can walk to North Africa from the Grand Canyon." So that's telling us something. That's telling us something. And you can, if you can walk to Africa from the Grand Canyon in America, that tells you geographically where we at and what is connected to Africa. So that's revealing. I mean, you're talking about thousands of years of geography being studied. And they did not know that you could walk to Africa, North Africa, from the Grand Canyon, from Mount Everest in America. So nobody knew that for all these thousand years, but this young man found that out. So that tells you something. Or maybe somebody knew and didn't want to say nothing.
I would love to add to your conversation concerning what you just said. The fact is not that nobody knew, but the fact is this information was kept hidden for a purpose, and they had to change the map because they did not want the slaves to return to Africa. When they took them on the ship, they took them on a very long journey, and they did not want them to know how close they really was to home. So if this information was disclosed, slavery would have been done with some 300 years ago, because people simply would have gone back home. So you know, they had to change. That's why the maps would change and everything to make that confusion. So the slaves were disoriented, thinking they were a million miles away from home, especially, I guess, when they got their first snowstorm. They was like, "Oh my God, where are we, on Mars?" So that is why this information was hidden. People that simply go back home.
I believe that, like the brother said, civilization was created in Alcoban, aka what we know now as Africa, with the Bible says Abyssinia. But I believe that all belongs to Africa. It belonged to Africa in the beginning. When you look at it, you look at the logistics.
Yeah, it was, but
because
one
civilization,
man.
Because civilization didn't come out of America. Civilization came out of Africa. So Africa owned everything.
Civilization,
that's
a crib.
Yeah, it was, but one landmass in the beginning. Then God, through earthquakes and time and everything, spit everything out, did a map that we know today. But in the days of early of Adam and Eve and all them, and the Garden of Eden and all that, it wasn't but one landmass at that time.
Right. So I'm going to open up 939-586. Your mic is open.
Yes. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Land mass. Hello? You hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you. That land mass, and we confuse, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, that land mass in itself was called Pangaea. And that was a supercontinent. All right. And when that split, you can't say when that split, nobody was on that continent, you know, who also moved when that landmass moved.
Right.
Okay. And so on. But there's something else, just spoken about in the Bible, as that God's waiting or preparing an army, 144,000. This 144,000 are supposed to be warriors for God. And in this revelation period, these warriors would not bow or bend down to Babylon, or to the devil. They didn't take the mark of the beast. All right. And they were the fighters. So this, these 144,000, I believe, are being and are being put into place to fight that battle. And I think the battle is a spiritual one as well as a one here on earth. You know, what's going on in Israel, you know, with the Ashkenazi, because that's who they are. All right, they stole the land. And as Brother Ruffin was saying, anywhere that these diseased people go, they kill, rape, and destroy and take over. And they're put in that position because of our disobedience. You know, so we have to come under God, you know, and become truly one of his people. Be gods, as he said, didn't I say that you were gods and sons of the Most High? You know, if we're going to represent him on earth and help and win the battle so that he can come, you know, and return and put down the devil or put down these diseased people. You know, so that's my thought. And thank you for the conversation. It's great. It's showing itself today on television. It's proving itself.
Thank you so very much, caller, for your contribution. As we continue this wonderful Sunday evening, Dr. Robinson, let me know who else is in the queue.
Some have dropped, so we'll have to wait till they come back.
Okay, cause I was trying to catch those before they run off. I know some people just had a few minutes, but all the same, if they can come back, they will share with us as we continue for this evening. Our topic of discussion, we are discussing the 12 tribes of Israel that is still here with us. That is Jacob's from all that time, but the majority of the people from those tribes, let's just say the tribe of God, they are in Benin. We know we were stolen from Africa, taken away against our will, and forced into slavery. But before slavery really become, the whole idea really was to steal the Hebrew Israelites, steal the 12 tribes of Israel and bring them across here to America, which one caller who wisely said, you know, there was a really big mix-up and exchange because these people actually sent back to Spain at some point. But slavery being such a lucrative market, it continues among the blacks, and they started selling left, right, and center till 400 years passed because the white man cannot have gotten his hands off of a good thing. You know, just to go capture people and you have them work the land and make millions of dollars, who wanted to stop? They were milking that cow left, right, and center. So we understand why slavery continued, but for the very reason it started was really to scatter the 12 tribes, which was successfully done, but not all of the tribes was, not all of the members or families were scattered. Come on now. The very core was left in Africa, especially, as I said, the tribe of God is in Benin. My African counterparts are asking, you know, we want to centralize, we want to organize, we want to come together. So therefore, let us have one criteria by which, you know, we determine who is from what tribe. I mean, prayerfully, you can get on your knees and ask Father, and he will really let you know. But for people, and we are seeing the 99 hours coming, we are seeing an hour of darkness is approaching upon us. And for us who are standing in the lead position, we want to know, and we want to be sure, and we want to come together surely, because our black nation is rising. But not all black people in the world came from the tribes, because how could it be? There were other people upon the earth when Jacob was having his kids. But the 12 tribes were particular within the birthright of who they really are. So I'm throwing it out there for my listening audience. I don't want to miss anyone who wanted to weigh in this conversation. I know some people needed a few minutes, so they were just going to touch and go. So Dr. Robinson, let me know if anyone came up in queue.
Okay, we have, you know, all the other callers. I mean, if anybody, you know, right now all the mics are open. Anybody want to contribute or, you know, make some contribution?
Okay, feel free to do so if you want to weigh in on the conversation.
Well, I just want to, you know, reiterate the historical factors as well, that if civilization came out of one place and the earth itself divided, like the brother said, earthquakes, creation of seas and water, land and water and earthquakes divided the civilization or the hemisphere and the atmosphere and the landmass, then that means everything came out of one place, be it at Abyssinia, be it Alcoban, has original name of AKA Africa. They say Africa means Latin is hot and freak is destruction. Alcoban means Garden of Eden and mother civilization. That's what Alcoban means. Okay, so the Latin and the Greek is where we get Africa, which is not a nice connotation. But, you know, here we are. And historically, in factors to make clarity, one has to use the terms that they use in modern society so that we can make a point. You know, I believe that everything, the Bible said that there would be new tribes created. And so I believe that all these things that we see now are new tribes, you know. So you can say in North America here, the slaves that were brought here for 400 years, and now we know them as, you know, from colored to Negro to black to African American, that's can be considered a tribe. And the events around the tribes, I believe, is important. I believe civilization is important. I believe it's important to know the culture, the ethnicity, the experience of a person coming from, whether it's the Caribbean, whether it's Africa, whether it's North America, whether it's Europe, whether it's Asia. Those cultures have indigenous things that connect them. When we look at it, certain foods that's come out of Africa is in North America, is in the Caribbean, is in Asia, is in Europe. Those certain kind of dances and certain kind of spiritual worship, we can connect back to original place now that we know at place that we know now as Africa. So those indigenous spiritual things in a person, because you go to one place, I don't believe that that changes your construct of who you are. It just puts you into a different place and time. But if you notice, there are common characteristics shared by people of the original place, well, whether we say Abyssinia, whether we say Alcoban, whether we say Africa, Ethiopia, Mali, there were different names for Africa, Nubian, there were different names back in the day. But I'm saying whatever you identify with, I think it's good to identify with the common characteristics that make us who we are on a cultural level, on an ethnicity level, on a spiritual level. So I just think those things, finding commonality amongst us, is going to what bring us together. And so if you notice, like the brother said, when they divided you into different names and different countries, they told you that you were different than the other person. And so we in today's society, people look at more the differences in culture, ethnicity, art, civilization, mentality, common things that people do, dancing, art, paint, you know, spirituality, church or synagogue or temple or mosque, there's still a commonality amongst those who share in a common place of culture and time. And I think that, you know, you can look for the differences, or you can look for the commonality as well.
Well, Corley, we thank you so very much as we continue to observe what's really happening with our people. But our differences as our Black people really and truly has been that great interest, the essence, the source of which Black people, when they come together, could share. Because the continent having different flavors. Nigeria is different in food, it's different in clothing, it's different in dance, so it's different in Mali, so it's different in Sudan, so it's different in Ethiopia, the food, the clothing. But the Black people enjoyed each other before colonization and before they separated the continent. They simply walk right through the motherland and visit each other. Visit their cooking, they bought cloth, they bought clothing, they shared things, they shared food, they shared stories. And all this was wonderful. That diversity was beautiful. Colonization is what caused the pain when they decide to cut up the motherland. It was decided. There was a big conference of which it was, I think it was in Berlin they did it. But all in all, Africa was one land, one large continent for the Black people to enjoy, not to mention the richest continent that God has blessed and given us, this beautiful, wonderful continent, of which it was such a jealousy that they decided to remove us from her. We have to return, and we know it's the motherland. But we know there are certain facts, which, of course, between the genealogies, which takes time to read, and we know how much patience Black people have, they hardly read. We can know who we are. But we are seeing here that they are the 12 tribes of Israel. They are people with various banners claiming they know who the 12 tribes are. Nothing is wrong with that because we are trying to get together. But what we are trying to do here and to establish is with our brothers and sisters in Africa. They want to know because there are people, as I said, in Benin that are from the tribe of Gad, and they know their oral history, and they know. So they want to know the other people like who are scattered are saying, oh, we are from the tribe of Gad. Or people are determining based on a geographical location, or you're from St. Vincent, so you're from the tribe of Gad. And then there are other people who take the 12 tribe and determine by your birth date which tribe you come from. Now, both sets is madness as far as the African people are concerned. And I sat with some of the sisters and brothers and listened to them, and they have a very good point because we were removed from the continent and scattered, which means the very source are still there. It come like a mother have a house of 12 children. 3 were taken away. They were kidnapped. But the rest of the children are still there. So they know because mommy gave them the story. But now the 3 children who were kidnapped, they found out down the road some other story. So let us get back into understanding where we came from and where the story originated. And let us try to have one story, one page, because it's all about us. At the end of the day, we were the first and we shall be the last. So it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. At the end of the day, the fight is going to be with the so-called Jews and the Black people who are really the chosen ones. So we will see that great race for heaven, I guess, or who's God people, but this was done to us. We were hidden from the truth for many, many years. And there was a reason the truth was hidden from us. It was taken away. Our names were taken away because it was too important. So here we are today, and here we are in our conversation on a Sadie Sunday. Dr. Robinson, let me know how our studio guest is looking.
Oh, we wish that I had all the mics open up. All the mics are open. Anyone wants to contribute, because I just wanted to open them up to make sure that we don't lose no one.
Okay. All mics are open. Feel free to join the conversation. We are talking about the Hebrew Israelites, and we are talking about particularly ourselves tonight because we want to organize, centralize, want to come together, knowing who we are, what are we going to tell our children when they ask us what is going on. So we have to come back to that state of understanding how important it is to pass important history to our children. This is not what the 6 o'clock news is going to bring. We have to teach our children once more, pass the stories down, call it story time. We can do it right here on Sunday sometimes, but anytime you all find necessary, pass this information down. It's very valuable so that we would know who we are. Little black children ought to know. And I was watching a video earlier on. Someone sent me, and I felt so proud. In Kenya, I believe, 3 black women, I guess 2 other professors, they come together and they open a school. And this school is an Afrocentric school. All the children are dressed in their African clothing. They learn their African language. They learn basic African teachings and everything African. But most importantly, there's a part in the school which teaches you about trade. So children are learning to, if they make beads for their hand jewelry, they're learning how to package it, box it, and send it to other areas so they can have their own, your school is making money and they're having their own investment. I was so proud that these women, and of course 2 brothers as well, they taught us doing this so that, and the school is quite filled, about 500 kids in the school. It's a big school actually. I felt so proud when I saw they all dressed in their African garb. They play the African games, and oh yes, they're learning Swahili, oh definitely. They're learning 3 languages. And I heard one little boy, he was very fluent in English. He was about probably 8 years old, and he said he was so happy that he is learning the mother tongue. And I felt so proud of him, you know. So this is something that's happening in Africa. It's happening right now. As again, it's not going to make the 6 o'clock news. So here we have to listen in on Sunday so we can get what's really happening. So we can feel proud of what our sisters and brothers in the continent is doing. So these schools are popping up. It's coming very popular. It's not making the news, as I said, but they're teaching a traditional way. The children have the break time. They sing the songs. They do the dances. And, of course, they learn in English and mathematics and everything, too. But they're learning basic African teachings, you know, about the food, culture, clothing, and about their proud black self. And that we should celebrate. I felt really, really good about that's what's happening now. So for those of us who came to the West, got educated, and we can go back home to Africa, because that's home, for those who have that desire, and teach, because what we are seeing, we have a brand new set of young minds just waiting to be taught. And who better to teach our little black hen chickens and ourselves, because that way they'll be rich in history and knowing who they have. Because the story to be told for a black man can only be told by a black man. The white man is not going to have the right version. Of course, there would be the distorted version, the altered version of what he think it is. So we are rich in history, rich in culture, rich in clothing, food. And these things we can celebrate, these things we can be so very proud of, because there's no one on the continent like us, no one on the planet even like us, who has so much flavor and so much, you know, differences, but yet equally, seeing that we are black, but we have all different shades of black. Black has about 32 shades, not to mention, you know, the texture of our hair. We're just quite unique. I guess it's the only hair that can grow standing up. We can boast of that, you know. We never see anybody else hair that can grow like the top of a pineapple, because that's what we can do, you know, with our melanated self. So here we are on a wonderful Sunday evening. We are bringing our topic about the 12 tribes of Israel, but we also touch about other topics too, what's happening in the news today. We talk about the in France, there was a case where a Frenchman urinated in a little African boy, which is really atrocious, but we know that in Africa right now, they're asking the French to please leave them alone. Get out of Mali, get out of Niger, and this is a serious time whereby Africa is standing up. Yes, standing up. It's a wonderful time. We must talk about it. We are all things Africa on the side. But, you know, we are doing Ethiopian World Federation, Local 26. We are all things Africa tonight. We are all things about the 12 tribes. And for those who have anything to say or to weigh in this conversation, I was really hoping for two important guests who they know a lot. I was hoping that they would come through for me at this time, that we can get some more knowledge. But for so far, who are here, they can share with us.
One of them.
Oh, we can share.
One of them came. Nathaniel Evans came.
Okay.
I reached out to you today. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I reached out to you today on Facebook.
Oh, yes, I did.
Yeah, Nathaniel Evans. Yeah, we talked on Facebook earlier.
All right, Nathaniel, don't be a stranger. You know I know who you are. I was waiting for you.
Sorry for taking so long. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful.
Here.
Really happy to hear you.
Awesome. Same here. Yes. So I didn't catch everything you were saying. I know you were talking about the different changes taking place, but I did want to tap in on the 12 tribes of Israel. And, you know, I know that's who we are. We are the 12 tribes. I'm myself from the tribe of Judah. So, I studied with the Hebrew Israelites. I studied with different, you know, doctrines and different leaders and different concepts. But I've been able to see, even from the Bible, on a lot of the basically atrocities that's taking place, a lot of different systematic harms that's taking place, have actually been basically characterized already by who we are according to scriptures. And everything is playing out as far as us moving away from what you were talking about, us moving away from their systems and stop being in love with all the different systems that they have created. You know, stop being in love with their car, stop being in love with their money, as I was talking, listening to Farrakhan earlier today. He was talking about the money is paper, right? And he was saying that we're going back to, like, gold. Gold is the money and things of that nature. And it just shows, like, how we have been displaced as a people to basically believe in these different things, right? It's like we're not learning that we, without each other, we're not able to grow. And if we continue to, like, tap into their different systems and allow their systems to dominate us, we're not going to be anything as a people. They're going to be able to disrespect us in different ways. You know, we're talking about the French people and Africa, but you also had the time when Gandhi was in his time period when he was also being abused by the French people as well. And they was also doing a lot of annihilations and stuff like that. As we start becoming more aware, we have to protect each other on a higher level. As I talked to Dr. Wimborne the other day about the African Power Fund, that we have to be able to start paying attention that we're being strategized against, that these things are not coincidental. All these different systems that they have created, their welfare system, their employment system, their prison systems, they have all been designed on purpose. There is no mishap. But for instance, if I was to create a building, I did not create the building for style. I created the building for people to occupy it. Maybe the building might look nice and it might have some glass chandeliers and things of that nature, but that's not the reason why I created the building. I created the building because I need to make money, but I want to make money for people, right? Because animals don't pay rent, right? Animals are not paying light bill and gas bill and cable bill and phone bills. It's people that's paying these bills. And until we start realizing that these systems are created for people and people only, right, and stop falling into their traps like this person is poor and that person is poor. None of us are poor. We're rich in spirit. If we wasn't rich in spirit, they wouldn't be using a system to trap us. So we have to understand, like, why are these systems created? What is the purpose of any of these systems that possibly have been created? And these systems are to trap us from actually growing and actually elevating to higher levels. And, you know, we've been able to put past the biases, we've been able to put past the judgments that's actually been inflicted upon us, then we can actually start growing. Like, the people here in my past, I've been in prison a few times. My last time in prison, I did 11 years. So, but they don't know me. They don't know what I did in the prison system. They don't know how I help brothers in there, how I help correction officers, how I help counselors in there. They don't know my story. The only story they know is that I was in prison, and for some reason, prison is a dark place. Well, the prison was such a dark place, you wouldn't worship Malcolm X the way you worship Malcolm X in the land. So Malcolm X became Malcolm X in prison. So these systems that we are using to actually castigate each other and to basically punish each other is not our system. We didn't create none of these systems. All these systems that have been created, they were created when our eyes were closed and we still were asleep. Before the Father sent us back down here to do our work, these systems are already created. We're down here to dismantle systems instead of preserving systems. And I think that once we start understanding that we're here to dismantle systems instead of preserving systems, we'd be able to do greater things in the world together and individually. But as long as we use their systems, their houses, their cars, their money, their clothing, their shoes, their sneakers to define who we are, we will have no definition of who we are, because these things that's created, they're not for our definition, right? They are to decrease us and to separate us. So if we have black men and women that are successful in our community, 90% of the time they leave the community. They don't stay in the community. They actually abandon the community and they go into new communities, right, of other persuasions. And then they say that they're greater than us because now they're in these new communities, and these new communities have certain levels of richness. They have clean streets. You know, they have less police officers. They have less crime, things of that nature, because that's how we're designed to do so, right? So I think understanding that we are the children of Israel, that we are the ones that the Most High said, eat my people like bread, right? We are those people that eat like bread. The Most High said they have created traps. He said if you lay a trap in the side of a bird, you lay it in vain. So they don't lay the traps in front of us. They hide the traps. They use our people to trap us further and to, you know, and put us into deeper traps. I've been on advocacy movements. I've been, you know, in the prison systems as a leader, you know, while I was in prison and even when I came out. And I realized that we don't understand that these systems are traps, right? We think that these systems are because we created a crime or we committed something, right? For instance, a brother came out of prison a couple of years ago that I ran to. He was a Black Panther. He walked up to me and said, "Yo, bro, I need a couple of dollars. You know, I'm a Black Panther, ex-Black Panther. I just came out of prison from doing 40 years, right?" He said, "I came home. I have no money. I have no house. I have no people that came to greet me, you know what I'm saying? And I sacrificed my life for my people, and now I'm out here 40 years later, and I have no life," right? And they released him with no power, no energy, and no love, right? So when we come into the world and we don't have power, we don't have energy, we don't have love, if we don't cultivate our brothers and sisters that have fallen according to these systems, as they were designed to do so, instead of judging them, when we fall as the 12 tribes of Israel, we will fall also without having any assistance in our growth as well. So I think it's important to move outside of the systems that they have created, because these systems were not created in mind for us. These systems were created to go against us and to decrease us. You know, so it's basically, you know, falling back in love with who we are as a people, and start understanding that I am that I am, and start moving outside of their basic structures of who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be it. Right? So I'm going to give you an example. I'm doing a bill right now. It's a bill that they're doing for Rikers Island. And the bill was created because the other nations, the white people, actually was being penalized because they were trying to help us, you know, in prison. But even though I'm on this platform, even though I'm trying to help them with this bill, they still won't acknowledge me as a leader. They still won't acknowledge me as a professional. right? Because when the bill is implemented, my name is not going to be on that bill, right? I'm not going to be you. I'm not going to be the iconic figure that helped them create the bill because, in essence, as a black man, I'm insignificant, regardless of what my accomplishments were, what I have done in the land, how many lives I have saved. I'm still, as a black man, insignificant. Right? I can pay 1,000 gas bills, and the first time I miss a gas bill, you turn my gas off. I can pay 1,000 rents. The first time I miss rent, you'll turn my rent off. You know what I'm saying? Or they basically convict me and put me into court. Because at the end of the day, as a black man, I'm not significant in the world. Regardless of what accomplishments I accomplish in this land, it's only short-lived. And it's because of the way that they have created the system. It's not us. We didn't create any of these systems. And I think that that's the problem, is that we act like we have something to do with the systems that have been created, and we don't. We're all victimized by the same system. But we're not seeing that because some people have money, some people don't have money, but we're not positioning each other with the money. And because we're not positioning each other with the money, they can reposition us when we run out of money, when we run out of friends, right? Now all of a sudden we're nothing. You know, he's nothing but a bum now. He used to have money. He used to have money. And this is what they have been doing to us strategically for centuries. Not centuries, but for centuries they have been using their power against us to uproot us to ensure that we don't come together, which is the William Lynch papers was actually created for that same purpose, right? To make sure, because at the time before the William Lynch papers came out, we was moving in solidarity, right? Even though we was enslaved, we were still moving in solidarity. After the William Lynch papers came out and was implemented, we were no longer moving in solidarity. Now we at each other's throats. Now I'm better than you, and this is in that nature, right? And we're not growing, you know what I'm saying, the way that we're supposed to grow as a people, because we're looking at systems as a constitution for our growth. We're looking at systems that say that this is what makes me important because I accomplish this in the land and I accomplish this in the land, but those are not the things that make us important. Who we are, knowing that we're Hebrews, knowing that we are the people that they have actually come against, is like my friend said the other day, like, you know, why is it that we're so downtrodden in the land? Like, why is it that we so messed up in the land? And I asked him a question. I said, well, you know, the Most High made 18 nations, and 17 nations jumped one nation. What's going to happen to that nation that's being jumped by 17 nations? So when we're looking at it, we don't have any representation in the United Nations. We're not the power figures that we say we are, even though we may have money, maybe we might have been singers or dancers or football players or even judges, right? We don't have the power that we say we have. I was at Albany one time, and it was a Spanish judge. He actually retired from being a judge, and he said a statement. He said when he was a judge, he couldn't do anything when it came to citizens. He had to follow the letter of the law. Even though he knew that it was unjust, and even though he knew that he was trying to against his own people, he couldn't do anything to save us because he was following the letter of the law, right? And the letter of the law was telling him to give us 30 years, 50 years, 100 years, right? And but when he after he finished, I'm not bothering nobody. I'm in that field. I'm not bothering nobody. After he finished being a judge, what he did was now he became an advocate. You know what I'm saying? But when he was a judge, he had no power to actually save our people from the injustices that took place against us inside their court system. So not understanding that we're the Hebrews and not understanding that we are actually being systematically structured against is actually a death sentence against us as people. And that's basically one of the, you know, some things I wanted to say about this topic, because this is a very critical time that we're going through. And, you know, we have all these different wars that are taking place over the world. We're going through COVID-19, right? And, you know, we're learning firsthand that we don't really have any allies in the land. You know, people love you when you go in the store and buy T-shirts, jackets, and hats. But when it comes to them protecting us, and when it comes to them you know, basically eradicating laws that have been the basic design to destroy us, no one comes to our aid. So right now, you know, they got a war and they got all these asylum seekers that's coming to the land, and there's a lot of rallies. I've been to two rallies already that's focused on asylum seekers right now. The asylum seekers need housing, they need employment, right? And we're out there as black people fighting for these asylum seekers to actually get the services that they need that we're not even getting in this country. We are citizens, so-called citizens of the country, and we're not even getting these types of services. They're not expediting child care. They're not expediting welfare. They're not expediting any of these other things, right? So that just actually shows, again, that we're actually endangered species in a land that we try to call home by buying all their things and paying into their logic, right? We're not really a part of the system. We're outskirts of the system, and we have been outskirts of the system for a very long time to come. Right? So that's just something I wanted to say about that.
Well, my brother, thank you so very much for your contribution. Glad to hear your voice this evening. Always a pleasure for what you bring to the table. And just to see you back a little bit in your conversation concerning how the various systems are set up and designed, and we are really not part of that progress in any sort of way.
Right.
So important that we as a people understand who we are.
That's right.
And how we fit
right.
in. Uh-huh.
And how we're being strategized against, and how we're being used against one another. We have to actually start understanding what these different things entail, and stop trying to basically define one another according to the things we have or the things that we don't have within this society.
Well, that theory has been since in the time of slavery, that it's a divide and conquer, and to make us feel that we are so different from each other when we are, in fact, we have more similarities and differences. What we have to understand is we come out of the slave mentality because it's emancipation of the mental slavery that we have been going through. This is what we are trying to rid ourselves right now, to remove the shackles of our mind, because they have been removed from the feet. But here we are trapped still as we continue to see who's black, who's a little more brown, who head is big, who nose is big, who looks up big, who nose is straight, and not seeing we are brothers and sisters that was divided, conquered, and enslaved for purpose, because we came from the wealthiest part of the earth, so we know we are the blessed people, yet we became the poorest people in the earth, fighting for survival among each other, killing and fighting. It ought not to be like that. We on the rise once more, and we have to claim our rightful place upon this earth. So forget for those who are still brain dead. We might have to lose a few, but we have to push on and continue to reclaim that glorious place within our royal self. It is so designed whereby we should fight, but no, let us elevate our minds to know the killing of each other is no longer. Go ahead, caller. Somebody should mute their mic. For give me a little noise on the radio. I have a little bit of static coming on, so be careful of your background.
Okay. Go
ahead, caller. You're on. Your mic is open.
Oh, you're talking about me or somebody else?
No, you're adding what I just said.
Oh, yeah. So it's a scripture that basically characterizes everything you said. It's a scripture that says in the Bible. It says, I've seen slaves riding on horses and princes walking upon the earth. The roads have changed. And they have basically did this on purpose. They have basically strategized against us, all the different nations, you know what I'm saying, to uproot us. Right? Economically, socially, politically, you know what I'm saying? They have removed us actually from the fabric of the earth itself. We don't have any representation. We don't even have weapons of war, except the guns that we take from them. We try to use those guns to create war against each other. But we don't have tanks. We don't have missiles, right? They just Hamas just bombed Israel. Hamas has a military. They can't bomb Israel because they don't have a military. We have no military. Hamas and Israel both have police forces. We have no police forces either, right? So we're sitting here trying to play into a system that does not belong to us. We want to lay down and go to sleep on a nice, comfortable bed, and we want to go get a silly pillow to match it and say that I found my peace in the world. I have found my rest, right? But this is not our peace, and this is not our rest, right? And because we have not come into that clear understanding, we have no understanding of what the understandings are that we're supposed to understand. So we're not coming to those different awarenesses. We're not changing who we are on a spiritual level to match the different spiritual entities that's coming against us. As we talk about in Ephesians, the Most High say we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spirits, dark spirits that's in higher places. So once we don't realize that we are wrestling against spiritual forces that actually took the time out to uproot us on a spiritual level, then... So once we realize that we are not able to actually fight for who we are, we're not able to fight for one another. I can't say side A, I can't say this person, I can't say that person, I can't bring awareness into the world to these people because if I get demolished, whether economically, whether socially, whether politically, right, how do I preserve my people? How do I preserve myself? So they have changed the roles of who we are, and they have made us think that we're less than what we are, less than who we are and what we are, because we have defined ourselves according to things that we have not created. We are not connected to the money. We're not connected to their system. I've been on platforms where I say, listen, can I please come into the room to see your laws and your legislation? And they say, no, you can't come into the room. But you can advocate for the laws and legislation that we tell you to advocate for, but you can't come in the room to see our true laws and legislation, right? And for that reason, I say, oh, okay, well, this is what it is. They don't want us to see exactly what it is that they're doing. They don't want us to change the fabric of the system that they have created. They don't just want us to fall in love with those systems and just accept them as they are. And we can't afford to do that as people anymore. We've been doing this for centuries. My forefathers have been dead for centuries. They didn't went through slavery, they didn't went escaping slavery, they went through all these different things, and we're still no better off from it. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and others before them have also tried to dismantle these systems and bring awareness to these systems, but they were not able to do so on a high level, and they were sacrificed for it. And when we don't see that we're being sacrificed because we're trying to change systems, we're not being sacrificed because we're getting robberies. We're trying to change systems, and we're getting sacrificed for those changes, right? And this is something that, as a people, we really have to clearly pay attention to. Why are we strategizing against each other, right? Why are, okay... I had a friend of mine who lived in Chicago. A friend of mine told me that one year a train came through Chicago. It's an old train yard that no one was using anymore. But for some reason, a train wound up coming through there, and the train stopped, right? He said they waited for like a couple of weeks because they were wondering why the train stopped because the train never left. So they went to investigate. And they wound up breaking the train open, and they found all type of guns. They found machine guns, handguns, you know, drugs. And they said, my friend said, after they found the guns and stuff like that, the murder rate skyrocketed in Chicago. They purposely dropped those guns off in that area so they can actually expedite the crime so they can actually fill up their different systems. Their morals, their prison systems, and things of that nature, right? And this is the reason why they actually did that. So they have strategies that they have put into place, like COVID-19 and stuff like that, like HIV and things of that nature. I used to be an HIV tester as well, right? They have these different strategies that they've been using to dismantle us bit by bit, step by step, individual by individual, to ensure that we not become a collective whole. So we, you know, won't, if we don't identify that we're the children of Israel, we're not going to be able to fight against them.
Well, we thank you so very much, Brother Nathaniel, for your contribution and for your full understanding of what's going on when you see you talk about systems and how certain things are put into place. I like the piece of scripture, for you wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So it's the, that overstanding, understanding, and understanding that we have of what's taking place in and around us, especially for us people as a black race. We have to understand fully as well, alone, it's impossible to do anything alone, that we must come together, for our survival depends on it. For those of us who can lead, of course, the leaders have to go in front to bring the good news. It's like, you know, sending out that stalk or that to find out if the rain stopped. You know, it's like what in the days of what was Noah and the Ark. So there are those who are the watchers who really have to stand guard and, you know, and bring the report. So my brother, you know, what should I say? Surely the harvest is good, but the workers are few. And I know you toil in the vineyard as well and hard as I do. And we know we have a people, a peculiar people that we must bring together. So our journey, you know, is toil. But what can we say? 40 long years in the wilderness and I never get weary yet. Huh? That's what it's there.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
So, let me know who else is there to join me on this wonderful Sunday. You know, this is Sadie Gomez of the Ethiopian World Federation. You know how we do it on Sundays. We bring in you all truths, and we expect you to do the same. Let me know who's in and around.
Well, I'll chime back in if my mic is still open.
Oh, yes, it is. You're welcome, loud and clear. Come right in.
Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Now, who did that? Who got the power on earth? What race of people got the power on earth to change the truth of God into a lie? Did black people do that? Did the Chinese do that? Did the Arab? Who did that? The Pope. Do anybody know what Pope means? Roman Pope. The Pope means God on earth. The Pope and the Romans changed everything that was established by God. They got the power to do that. And when you got the power to change, who in here believes that January 1st is the new year? When spring comes, everything is bursting and brand new. Everything want to have sex. Everything turning green and growing and producing. In the dead of winter, who would believe that January 1st is the first of the year? When everybody, if you know anything about anything, you would know that the first of the year would be what? April. How many know why April Fool is put on the calendar? Because anybody who, when April Fool comes, that's the first of the year. And everybody's a fool for believing that it ain't. All right. Who would believe that 12 o'clock midnight is a brand new day when nothing changed? And every time the sun go up and go down, you see a change. And who changed that? Who changed that? Rome. And so when we talk about all these systems, it is not that the white man is so smart. It is not that the white man is so loving that presented this white Jesus all over the world. It's because that he was gave the big stick. He's the one who can create the system. How you going to win any games when you can write the rules of the game, change the rules in the middle of the game? And how many of us know every time a rule that went out, a system that was put in place, it was not put out for black folks. It was put out for the white people to come up. And then when the black people discovered that what was going on and when they started applying for the same thing that they gave the white man, and then the white man who make the rules sit there and saw, oh, they starting to benefit them niggas. They starting to benefit them black folks. Then they go to change it. Bankruptcy rules. Donald Trump filed bankruptcy 4 or 5 times. What is bankruptcy? Bankruptcy means what? You ain't going to pay your bills. You ain't going to pay nobody nothing, and the law going to stand behind you. When black folks start figuring out bankruptcy laws and rules, they change the whole game. So the system was never designed for us. And the system was always designed to get token niggas in place. All these Negroes and the young man was just left off speaking, telling you this. When a judge get appointed to be no judge, yeah, you're a judge, all right. But you can't change now law that they got on the books. You got to follow the books. So Sergeant Marshall, or whatever this woman was just made, that Joe Biden just appointed to be a judge, a Supreme Court judge, she can't go in and change nothing. She can't change anything. And then what's she going to change sleeping with a Edomite? Her husband is a white man. So what is her mind? What is her husband telling her on pillow talk and laying in the bed buck naked after orgasm? What is she talking? What is she going to defend now, a black man, when she laying on the white man to get her pleasures? So she ain't going to fight for you. Clarence Thomas, ashamed before God to be a black man, laying on top of a white woman, looking deep in her eyes, getting his orgasm. What rule he going to pass for a black person? They don't get these positions in these systems because they pro-black. They get these positions because they learn every rule and law or anything dealing with the rule of Edomites, white folks. And black, but now the athletes is a different case. If athletes get out here, they pure talent put them to play basketball, play the instrument, play the all these different situations that they in, and they have an opportunity to come into the sports. But guess who they agents? Who is their financial advisors? They surrounded by white people. What white man gonna teach him and tell him to come back and support his black neighborhood? They gonna fill his head up just what we talking about. The Israelites divide and conquer. They're going to tell that black man, you different. You better. You ain't like the rest of them niggas. Come on over here and build your house next to me. All that is designed in the system to take your money. Oh, you can have the Lamborghini. You can have the $10 million house. You can have all these things. You ain't doing nothing to come back in the neighborhood and establish a bank. It don't take the $2 million to start a bank. $1 million in service and $1 million in reserve. And anybody who got $2 million or more can start a bank. How many black folk got $2 million? And how many black banks? We ought to be popped up banks around here through the United States like popcorn. But why we don't? Because we're part of the system, what the young man just got through telling us. The system won't allow a black man to do that. And then what I just said earlier, we as black folk, what bombs and bullets we got? Who are, and we got a scripture where Jesus said foxes have their what? Dens. And the bird have his nest. But the Son of Man have no home to call his own. And guess what? The Hebrew Israelites are the exact same thing. That's what Jesus is telling them. God put us in the, we as the Hebrew nation, y'all read Psalms 83. They come together with crafty counsel, meaning they have all these meetings. They have think tanks. They got some people who all they do is sit around and read books, how to set up these traps and sisters to keep us barred out. They ain't this smart, but they got the power. They got the books. They got the gold. They got the military. They got the hospital system. They got everything. I don't like to be the grummer of bad news or the damper anybody's hopes and dreams. Yeah, the world is changing. Listen to me. Listen to me and listen to me good. Esau, the white man, ain't giving up nothing. Yeah, black folks is coming into the reality of the cruelty and the lowdownness and how bad things really is. But that white man, France him, ain't going to give up nothing. You just watch what France him going to do in a few more minutes. France him is going to pull out nuclear bombs and everything they can to kill off everybody over there if they have to. They're not going to give up the African gold and minerals. I don't care what you say. If Jesus Christ, the black Messiah, the Heavenly Father, do not come back down here and fight this battle for us, we are doomed, which I know I got great hope because he is coming back. He is the black Messiah. And that's like the Bible said, he's coming back. The dead going to be raising first. He's coming back here. Nobody going to no heaven. Ain't nobody a white man told you about a heaven. We're not going to heaven. Jesus coming back here. And it ain't going to be no rapture away from all these troubles and trials and tribulation that's coming. But what's going to happen if Jesus return, we're going to put on immortality. Right now we got mortal bodies, subject to sickness, bad health, blindness, shout, can't heal. We're in this old mortal body. But when Jesus come back, we're going to put in a blink of an eye, we're going to put on immortality to be able to walk through the fire. We don't need to breathe no air no more. We can, in the spirit, we can go anywhere we want to. We're going to put on our heavenly wings and fly through this and help the 144,000 and Jesus and the angels destroy this earth and kill off the devil and put him in the pit of hell. And then rebuild a new heaven and a new earth is going to form. And then every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. And all the ones who don't do this going to get their head cut off. That's how this thing going to play out. All these walls and rumors of walls, ain't nobody the devil trying to get it all ready for the return of Jesus. And he thinks he got bombs and bullets that can fight against the heavenly angels and Jesus Christ returning. And so I'm not no way tired, and I'm not depressed. I understand that we are in a battle that we cannot win on our own. I understand it. Us black people, Hebrew Israelites, we are sheep. And if anybody know an animal that of a sheep, and what defend against a lion, the bear, the anaconda. All these things, we got to have a shepherd. We throwed our shepherd away by not keeping God's law, statute, commandment. God took his hand off of us. Now we left out here to defend ourselves without no weapons, without no might, without no politics, no weapons, no nothing. And that white man was born with claws and teeth, just like a lion. And he do not have no conscience at all of killing us. And ever since we've been in this situation of modern world we live in, the white man have tried to kill us at every stage. They tried to kill Jesus. Remember, King Herod put out a decree to kill all black babies 2 years old or less to try to wipe out Jesus right there. All right, the Egyptian Pharaoh put out the same decree to kill all black male babies to wipe out Moses. They didn't want a new, they said we were populating too much. So they always been after the black male child. The Hebrew Israelites been on the fight. And the only way we survive is keeping God lost out of it, because he just mentioned there's 18 nations in the world, and all 17 of them went against the Hebrew Israelites. There's 17 nations plotting together to keep us in the position we in. You ain't going to win that battle until we, and I'm going to close out, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, seek my face, change from their wicked ways, then shall we hear from heaven. And we got to get this message out to all these folks who truly believe in the white man. And I'm going to close out with this. How many people on the sound of my voice have a black man to give them a W-2 form at the end of the year for the last 10, 15, 20 years? Find it. Find a black business that's been in existence that long to give out W-2. 99% of black folk get their W-2 from a white man. 99% of the black folk get their medicine from a white man. 99% of the white folk get their brand new cars from Ford, General Motors, and all them kind of folks. The white folks own all that stuff. I got hope, and I believe in a better day is coming when Jesus show up and help us fight this battle. So I rest my case, and that's all for me tonight. Y'all be good.
Thank you so very much, Corley. You know, you're welcome always on this show. We're always happy for your contribution, for what you have to bring in the Sadie Sunday show. We keep it real on the side of tongue. But we are seeing, again, all opinions, all can be brought here, but the truth is what is to be told at all times on Sadie Sunday. We are watching the black race. We know the problems that we have had. We have seen the jealousy upon the black race. The black women have had it even harder than the black men at some point in time, because we have seen the fight. So since the days of slavery, we have seen the advantage that has been taken upon the black woman. We have seen the pain that she had to bear, even in her household, with her children, with her husband, the pain of the black man having to come home and face, you know, the trials of his job, what society have to bring. And we, the black woman, have to be the mothers, the wives, the sisters, the babysitters, the sponges to absorb everything. And we are still here. We are still around. But we know of the strength of the black woman. We know the strength of the black race. And we support our black men as they continue along with the struggle as well. For we are indeed Israel. We know who we are. We are the chosen people from the days. We are that great people, God's chosen ones, the great Ahiah and his son that came, walked, and showed us. But here we are not debating anything concerning what religion brought to us, because religion was a case that was brought to control, you know, mainly with stories and lies, where the white man had the Bible, changed the Bible, rewrite. But God's word is true. There's nothing that could change the word of God. But we saw religion, how it was used to control mankind and to sway man's mental. But we ask, as we seek the Father, we know we look within oneself as we seek for truth. Because truly, even as a child, if you're about to do something wrong, there's this innate feeling, this other voice that will tell you something is wrong. And you would even see the guilt of a child trying to do something wrong, looking to even see there's an adult looking. Because that feeling of doing something wrong is built in with it in us. So we know that Father built us so perfect that we even know when we are doing something wrong that we should stop, or it could be offensive unto the Almighty. So here we are, children of the Almighty, walking humbly within, and we are asking, as we walk, we seek the truth, we ask the truth. We know truly it has been distorted upon the land about what is truth and what is not. But here we are, as we grow, and we can observe the changes that the world is coming about, the changes that was brought about daily as we watch. It is not the same even 20 years ago to now. It's not the same. We are upon the earth long enough to see the difference and how things are changing. We are seeing within us even now the influence of artificial intelligence, which is in all aspects of our being. They are even reading the 6 o'clock news now. Well, they will never be on Sadie Sundays. We know that. We're going to have Sadie live on the live. No AI here. But all the same, all jokes aside, we are seeing a change within the world, a change within, it is a change. It's definitely a change. We can feel it in our bones. We can feel it in the wind because that change has come. But as a black people, let us embrace the change that has come about. Let us reach further into the stars, into the sky. But we, our dreams will be turned into reality because this time has come for us. And for those who are conscious enough and are here with me to share, let us share and understand, overstand, understand who we really are, our time and place upon this side of town, and the arrival of that great feeling that our melanated people, it is time to celebrate. I am letting you all know we have already passed the verse, and there will be design plans of things to separate us, to keep us apart. But for those who are truly awoken and know what time it is, we are going to get together, stay together, and continue despite the challenges we can face. But again, join me again and every Sunday for Sadie Sunday, wonderful radio show from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at the very same number you call. So we are closing close to the top of the hour. And I want to say thank you for all those who came and supported me this evening. And I want to say a really good, pleasant night to my co-host, Dr. Robinson. I thank you so very much. This is Sadie saying good night.
Within your heart.
Within your heart.
Hold it close.
Hold it close.
Don't ever.
Don't ever depart. If there's cold in the night.
But you'll be alright.
matter.